So I'm Sumi. I'm going to talk about some applications of the nuclear physics in astrophysics. Well, I've been working on both nuclear physics and astrophysics, so I'm very happy to be here to discuss with various fields people here. So I want to discuss on some examples. And two things I will talk. One is the series of the Shannon equation tables, and the other is the neutrino burst as a probe of the equation state as an example. So, so let me start with my focus of interest. So I'm very interested in both the nuclear physics and astrophysics, and I want to study the interplay of between those two. So I've been working on the nuclear physics and matter, and maybe inside the nucleons as well, or hyperons. And then we are working with the supernova simulations to find out whether it explodes or not. And we want to clarify how are they related to each other, and most importantly, this microphysics may determine the outcome. So this is exciting things I want to study. So example of this side, I want to describe some updates of the Shannon equation of state, which already we had from the Hong Shen on the original Shannon equation of state table. But there's extensions with compositions in these years, so I will describe somewhat about them. Now, as we have heard yesterday, for supernova simulations, we need to cover a wide range, and we need the tables or in some subroutines to provide them. And the one, maybe classic one, is the Wolf-Hildebrandt equation state in 1985 by the Skram-Hartree-Fock theory. And then Latimer-Silvestri yours is 91. And then on Shen and including me, done the equation state table or based on the relative scheming field theory. So these are the development in, let's say, 90s, 20 centuries. Then we are having the development recently, and there are two directions for this. So one is the extensions to the high densities, including the extra degrees of freedom, like hyperons or quarks. There have been active works on that. And the other is the extension to lower densities, including the mixture of nuclei for electron capture and other things. So these are also active field of this equation state table business. Now I want to focus on our development based on the Shannon equation state. And we have the, so baseline is the Shannon equation state based on the RMF. Interaction is determined by the nuclear structure data and intruskin and so on. And but they are composed of neutron, proton, alpha, and nuclei, one representative nuclei. So that's the base one. And then we extend the, including the nucleon with the hyperons, extending the RMF. And that's the hyperon equation state. And even more, we have a quark equation state. So in addition to the nucleon degrees of freedom, we have a quark component by extending the RMF. So that's the high density part. The lower side, lower density side, we have a mixture of nuclei in NAC so that we extended the RMF to implement the NSC composition of nuclei. So that is relatively new development, and I will describe in detail more. The last thing we have heard already that we have updates of the sunking the effort of the Hong Shen. So we have the wider range and regular grids and inclusion of the simple lambda tables as well. So these are the overview of the extension of the Shen equation state table series. Now, but I want to describe what are those Hyperon and Cork equation state. So we extended relativistic mean field theory to the SU3 to include the strange baryons. So we keep TM1 as a basis, and we include the meson hyperon potentials by based on the experimental data of hypernuclei, so that we can explain the depths of the potentials of the hyperons in the nuclear media. And we constructed the tables available for open, and we have kind of choices of the U sigma potential because there is a lack of experimental data of hypernuclei on sigma and xi. So we have some choices, but we have the tables available. And we have also a minimal model with lambda by Hong-Shen, as we have heard yesterday. And the Cork equation state, we have extended relativistic mean field theory. Well, we combined with the MIT Buck model, in a sense. And we continue those two by the Gibbs condition for the mixed phase. And we keep, again, the TM1, and we choose some reference value of this. To construct the equation stable. Actually, we have other choices of the Buck constants as well. So these are the higher density part. Now, lower density side, we need to provide somehow the compositions. So Furusawa recently did this job to provide the relativistic mean field theory with mixture of nuclei in NSC. And again, we fixed the TM1 for uniform matter and for the construction of nuclear models. And we adopt the experimental data of nuclear mass as well as the mass formula by the compressive liquid drop model for the outside experimental data. So we can extend more neutron-rich one or more massive ones by this compressive liquid drop model. And we have a kind of smooth connection from NSC to uniform matter by solving this two-zone Wigner size cell model by the compressive liquid drop model. And we can switch to the smoothly connect to the uniform matter at the nuclear matter density in this way. So this is one example by this calculation. This is nuclear chart, N and Z. And this is proton number 100, so fairly massive nuclei are here. So this is a case for tens of nuclear mass matter density, a temperature 1 MeV, proton fraction 0.3. And we have a wide variety of nuclei in this calculation, even beyond the mass 300, actually. And Shen equation state, we have the representative nuclei, one species here, located here. So that in this calculation, we have a more wider range of the nuclei. And this right panel shows the density dependence of the average of nuclei. We can calculate the average value of mass or mass squared on other quantities as well. And this is the mass average, and the Shen equation state goes blue line. And then this new Furusawa's calculations goes this way. There's some stepwise curvature, and these are the effect of the shell effect, because we use the experimental data of mass nuclei whenever available, so we have some typical nuclei, iron nuclei for lower density, and then massive one nuclei. And then going up to the density, close to the nuclear matter density, we have a huge nuclei of the ensemble of the huge nuclei, actually. And we can follow up to, let's say, mass number 1,000 for average, and then it continues to the uniform material, uniform equation state. So this is one extension to the low density side. So these were the extensions, and okay, so for later purpose, I just compare three sets of EOS among the all these combinations. So just briefly remind you that this, if we compare the Shen EOS and Latimer's Specity 180 MeV, this is a soft choice. And we have maximum mass of 2.2 and 1.8 for those two. So relativistic Shen EOS is kind of stiff as compared to the Latimer's Specity soft one. And if we compare the Shen EOS and Hyperion EOS, when this Hyperion appears, then the equation state becomes softer at, when they are abundant. So it's because of this softening, the maximum mass goes to 1.6 if we include the Hyperions. So this is kind of soft, actually. So we have some, let's say, I will discuss those three, for example, where we can find the difference in the simulations. So this is the first part. And then I will switch to the applications and want to see the influence of the equation of state tables as we have worked out the tables. And I will talk about the neutrino, supernova neutrinos in the burst of neutron stars and black holes. So for this purpose, we are working on the 1D simulation, spherical simulation. We solve the general relativistic neutrino radiation hydrodynamics, solving the Boltzmann equation for neutrinos and hydrodynamics together in the full implicit method in general relativity, actually. And we adopt the equation of state tables, and we implement the neutrino reactions classic standard with some extensions. And the initial models for these simulations as massive stars, model of massive stars, and we start from the collapse of the these models. And the advantage in 1D is, of course, this is 1D, but since we are solving this full neutrino radiation hydrodynamics, in a sense, in 1D, it's a kind of a first principle simulation, so we can discuss in detail about the microphysics. So we want to examine the influence in the core collapse mechanism and neutrino emissions. The other thing is since we solved the Boltzmann equations, we can evaluate the neutrino energy spectrum as a function of energy, and for those three, four species as a time function of time. So we can provide the prediction data for observation of supernova neutrinos coming in some future. So my interest here is to explore the fate of massive stars by neutrino signals. So we have ordinary supernova neutrinos from this mass range leading to the neutron star. But there are more massive stars, something like 40, 50 solar mass, and then they lead to the black hole, but still they emit the neutrinos abundantly. So we want to clarify both those phenomena by simulations. So let's start from the ordinary supernova neutrinos. So in this case, we start from the 20 solar mass star, and then the quark collapse and bounce and explosion. Then we have the proto-neutron star is born. And since this object contains neutrinos abundantly, so this cools down by emitting neutrinos, and we have a bunch of neutrinos for 20 seconds, and we will have called the neutron star. And we expect tens thousands of neutrinos for next galactic supernovae instead of 11 in the case of 1987. So we'll be able to study the neutrino properties in details. Since the neutrinos emitted from the hot dense matter, so we should be able to probe the equation of state in this case. So here's one example of the numerical simulations of cooling of the proto-neutron star. These are the neutrino average energy luminosity as a function of time from the birth of the proto-neutron star. So we have we have tried out two cases, and we have some decrease of average energy due to the cooling of the proto-neutron star. And the luminosity actually decays exponentially, very fast for the time 20, 40 seconds. And if we compare the two equation state, we have slight difference, 1 MeV, 2 MeV, in the average energy. These reflect the softness and stiffness of the equation state. Since the Shannon equation state is stiffer, so the temperature is lower, and average energy is lower. And the luminosity goes faster because of the lower density, so diffusion time scale is smaller. So in that way, we may be able to discuss the difference between the equation of state. But keep in mind that we have the 20-second and decreasing feature of the energy and luminosity. Okay, so for more massive stars, they lead to the black hole. So starting with, let's say, 40 solar mass star, we have the core bands and no explosion in this case because of massive iron core. But still we have the proto-neutron star, but mass accretes onto this object, so the mass of the proto-neutron star increases, and then reaching the critical mass and leading to the dynamical collapse to the black hole again. So, massive proto-neutron star black hole occurs in order of seconds. And the neutrinos also emitted during this period of the proto-neutron star, so we have actually 10,000 of neutrino events, as I will show. And this is so the chance to see the black hole formation and also the probe of the equation of state at high density and temperature. So let's see, just briefly, this is the example of the simulation. It's the radius and time. So the shockwave is starting with the core and the collapse, and the shockwave is launched, and then it goes down due to the mass accretion, and the proto-neutron star is sitting here and becoming massive, and then the collapse occurs at here, and the black hole is formed at 1.6 seconds for this Shannon equation of state case. So during this evolution, we can evaluate the neutrino spectrum and the neutrino average energy as well. So here's the neutrino average energy and luminosity as a function of time after the bounce. So average energies for those three neutrino species, we have the increasing feature due to the temperature increase of the massive proto-neutron star, and then stops at 1.6 seconds because of the black hole formation. The luminosity is also increases as well due to the intense accretion and the contraction of the proto-neutron star, and then stops up here. And if we switch to the LS equation of state, softer equation of state, we have a shorter equation of state because of the earlier collapse due to the smaller critical mass. So if we detect this duration of the neutrino burst, we may be able to extract the softness of the equation state. Now, since we have a high density and temperature regime, we actually have a chance to see the hyperon appearance as well. So we have done also the simulation with the hyperon equation state I mentioned, and this is the average energy as a function of time, and then Shannon equation state just follows the Shannon equation of state results, and then at the last part, there's the appearance of hyperons. At the timing of this, we had the composition of hyperons abundantly, and then this appearance of hyperons triggers the recollapse to the black hole because of the sudden softening of the equation of state. So by detecting this difference, we may be able to probe the appearance of exotic particles as well. So just see summarizing the three cases, we have some roughly correspondence from between the maximum mass of neutron star and the duration of the neutron burst. So this is the increase of proto-neutron star mass as a function of time. So Shannon's equation of state case, we have the long period to have the massive proto-neutron star, but AWS and hyperonious case reaches smaller critical mass, so we have shorter neutron bars. So there's something we can do, it seems. And the problem, the question is whether we can observe them. And we have evaluated the neutrino detections, and we found that the event numbers are large enough for a typical galactic event. We have the 10,000 of neutrino detections. Depending on the equation of state, for Shannon equation of state, since the duration is longer, we have the 50,000, but softer one, less number, so that we can, detect the duration of neutron burst to say something on the softness. Now the problem is this two soft equation state, we have the similar event numbers, but still we can plot the cumulative event numbers as a function of time. We have the hyperon Shannon equation state case this way, but AWS case increases faster because of the rapid increase of the average energies. So this difference is actually enough to distinguish statistically if it occurs in the galactic center. And the last problem would be the progenitor dependence. As this Evan and Christian have studied, there are a variety of massive stars, and density profiles difference may lead to the different average energy profiles and different durations. So we have to study systematically by changing the stellar models to pin down the equation of state. So this is should be done. So I have gone through the two subjects. We have mentioned the progress of the series of the Shannon equation of state, the appearance of hyperons and quarks, and mixture of composition of nuclei. And I discussed the influence of neutrino burst for the supernova neutrinos are interesting, but the black hole case more, I think, in my opinion, very interesting to probe the dense and hot temperature material. And we want to study more systematically to pin down the difference of the equation of state. Now, just before I finish, the time is limited, and I skip all the things about the future. And we are working on the 3D simulations, and I have made a numerical code to solve the Boltzmann equation in 3D. So we solved the time evolution of neutrino distribution in six dimensions with using the equation of state table and neutrino reactions. This is a computational challenge. You have to solve the large sparse block matrix in the implicit method. And I'm working with the computational scientists to solve the problem in the parallel algorithm on matrix solver. And we have just made a validation of the core in the diffusion and beam. And I'm applying to the supernova cores and working on the coupling with the hydrodynamics. So this I finished. So these are the people working with, and this 3D calculation is a target application of the K computer, and I found this week it's a top position in the top 500 supercomputers. So I'm very looking forward to use this, and I have to work out very hard. So thank you very much.
Do you include convection in your long-term cooling calculations? Do you include convection?
No, this is a spherical calculation.
You could presumably incorporate it with some type of...
You mean some time to simulate the convection in the 1D calculation, like the Wilson simulations by hand?
Right, it's just saying it could enhance your cooling rate and affect some of the
latency. Well, it's not in this case. Well, for black hole case, I think the accretion of the material is the key essence feature. So the it's nothing inside, but rather outside the surface of the proto-neutron star, the material accretes onto it. And this is the major part of the neutrino emission. So it's for this black hole formation, long-term evolution, the accretion, the following the accretion is important.
Okay, because I thought there were parts of the proto-neutron star that were, I thought there were parts of the proto-neutron star that were convective due to the lepton gradients.
Lepton.
That can transport energy and change your cooling time.
Yeah, that can be a possible. And flattening of the entropy and lepton and may affect the neutrino signal as well. But since this is short term, well, relatively short, 1 second or so, and all these neutrinos are from the accretion, not from the diffusion of the neutrinos from the central part. So I think the accretion part.
I agree with maybe on the first second, but if you're looking at like 100 seconds.
Or still, this convection inside is interesting to see. Yeah, sure.
So in the first part, when you were talking about extensions of the same equation of state to include quarks, do you assume that the quark composition is in equilibrium? That means that the strange content is given by equilibrium condition. My question is because in principle you start with normal hadronic matter, which is made of up and downs, and to produce a strange quark you have to do it by weak interactions that produce neutrinos.
Yeah.
So in principle I wonder if this equilibrium assumption is correct because you want to compute the evolution of the neutrino production.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, so in principle, one has to follow the conversion of the nucleon to, let's say, hyperon or quark content of the UD and S by weak interactions as well. So we have to follow those evolution as well. But here, as a first step, we assume the equilibrium is maintained within a short time period to see what will come out if we switch to the quark and other hyperons and other things. Okay, yeah, yes.
Any more questions? I'll ask a quick one.
Yeah.
If you go back to your advertisement slide for your 3D Boltzmann solver, so the previous so you have, does the structure you have on your matrix logo there leads me to believe that you're not using AMR? You have no AMR, it's only a fixed grid?
You mean AMD? Huh?
No AMR, no spatial AMR.
No AMR at the moment.
So that really is the linear. That really is what the linear system looks like that you're solving. Three outline bands.
So this is from the scattering and absorption and so on, and
right.
These are the lines from the advection.
Sure.
So typical pattern, but
right,
I have
right.
to.
And if you had AMR, those bands I expect would be.
Yeah. So if we include the energy coupling, and we have the huge dense matrix, block matrix as well. so challenging.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. So, in the light of the discussion we had this morning
about
the various interactions that should be included, could you say what currently in your neutrino transport code, what interactions you're including and what type set of microphysics you're using?
You mean the neutrino set of neutrino reaction? What kind of neutrino sets we are using?
Yes.
Yeah, we are based on the Bruckner, this Bruen's classic neutrino set at the moment. But we included the pair process, and also we have included the nuclear-nucleon Bremsstrahlung, this Hohnchen and Kindry developed a method to calculate the reaction rate. So we have implemented the nuclear-nuclear Bremsstrahlung as well. But the more sophisticated one I have to work out.
So I think this would be in particularly important for neutrino signal predictions, right?
Yeah.
People at SuperCam, you're kind of very eager to get the newest predictions. And I saw you had this very long-term proton neutron star cooling.
Yeah. That actually so depends on whether proton neutron star cooling for long term or this quick collapse in the massive star case. So again, the massive star black hole formation case is that the time period is kind of short and the accretion is dominant. So relatively, is insensitive to the details of the nuclear reactions at high density part. But for proton neutron star case, yes, we should be very careful about the all details.
Do you have the luminosity plot? Could we go back to the luminosity plot for the proton neutron star cooling case? Luminosities of proton neutron star cooling?
Pardon? Yeah,
I think you showed a plot of the proton neutron star cooling luminosities.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you just have the total luminosity. You don't. Oh, you
this
have it broken.
This is. Let's see. I think I plotted all these three species, but they are somehow bundled. Yeah.
So you find equipartition of the fluxes after a certain amount of time.
That's right.
So this is interesting from a neutrino oscillation point of view, and we'll get to that later. The other question that I had, since we now have these observational constraints on and also theoretical constraints on the equations of state, are you planning to go back and redo, the black hole formation calculations are also the proton neutron star cooling calculations with a different new set of equations of state.
That's a good idea to going back to the basics on the nucleon equation state to consider this all these neutron star properties and the nuclear matter properties from the nuclear data. And I think now the time to look again the equation state, nuclear matter equation state dependence on the supernova simulations, particularly in 2D and 3D. And we have to clarify what is the effect of the symmetry energy, as Kay pointed out, or incompressibilities. So by in kind of a systematic way, which one affects which direction. I want to do that too, surely.
Any more questions? Okay, let's thank our speaker once again.